In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today the Church has remembered St. John the Apostle and Evangelist. Along with his brother James and the other Apostle Peter, these three disciples formed that inner group of Jesus' disciples. They alone saw the raising of Lazarus, saw the raising of Jairus' daughter. They witnessed the transfiguration. They saw the agony in Gethsemane. And out of these three disciples, it is St. John who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Our dying Lord entrusted John to take care of his mother, Mary. John was the first to reach the empty tomb, though Peter was the first to enter. John later became bishop of Ephesus, where he wrote four books, the four books which bear his name. And then when exiled on the island of Patmos, he wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, a book of great comfort to a struggling church. Unlike the other apostles who all died for their confession of faith, St. John died of natural causes around 100 AD, the last living apostle. That is why we have white vestments instead of red on this day. But why are we remembering John 2 days after Christmas? Simply this: to worship the Christ child is to fulfill your vocation. In the gospel account just read, our Lord had instructed Peter that he would die a martyr's death. So Peter turns around and sees John following and wants to know what he will have to face. Human nature is always comparing what we have to go through with what others have to go through. Christ reprimanded Peter, reminding him that it is God who gives each according to his wisdom. And so for Peter, that meant death, and for John, a long life. Yet both were to remain faithful to God. God has determined our vocations as well. He has placed us where we are, given us a calling in life, and then has adorned us with many gifts to carry out that calling faithfully. Don't look over your shoulder to see what others have. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Do the work entrusted to you. Guard the honor of your calling, and to do so is to worship this Christ child who was born in Bethlehem. You are not a minister, and that is perfectly okay. That doesn't devalue you or your work, for God has given a distinction of vocations for the good of his church on earth. Some he calls into this office, others he does not. Yet all are to serve faithfully. If you are a woman, that is to God's glory. Live like a woman, act like a woman, talk like a woman, dress like a woman. You don't need to be a man in order to have value. This doesn't devalue you, for when you carry out the vocation where God has placed you, you are worshiping this Christ child with the gifts he has given to you. Be what God has made you, not what he has made someone else. Even where our vocations overlap, say in the case of a father or a pastor, there is still a unique calling that God has given to you. Both Peter and John were apostles, and yet they had a unique set of gifts. You know of Peter's boldness, and John, well, he's the disciple of love. John wrote five books, Peter only two. We have many mothers in our midst, and yet not one of you was called to be the mother of our Lord, only Mary, a unique calling by grace given to her. You mothers know how best to care for your children. They are yours. And just because someone else has a strategy or a way to care for their children doesn't mean that it will work for you and your kids. Your kids are unique, they are different, and you know best how to care for them. Not even grandma knows better. They are gifts given by God for you. And so this is to worship the Christ child, to faithfully serve where God has placed us, using the gifts to his glory. Not serving in fear or worry, but serving to honor and praise him. And at times that work is boring. It is repetitive. and sometimes it is downright disgusting. Did you know that cleaning toilets is a godly work? So it's not surprising that we are constantly glancing over our shoulder to compare what we have with other people. We're sinners. We're not always content with what we have been given or even who we are. We want something new. We don't like the repetition. Something more exciting, more glamorous. We think it is our right to pursue happiness. But really, it is our right to be faithful to God. Whether we are happy or not is only a blessing, a side effect. And so we long for a new year, a new job, a new something. Something to just mix it up a bit. Why can't our kids be more like theirs, our spouse be more helpful like theirs? But it really hits closer at home than just what the neighbors have. For those who are closest to us are the ones that we are more apt to envy. You see that in siblings, sibling rivalries. They care far more about what their brother or sister has than what their friend has. You see that also in the order of men and women. Men today are to act like women to some degree, and women are to be more like men. Equality in all things, which is nothing more than tearing down the separate and distinct vocations God has given to males and females, and thus it destroys society. Be what God has made you. God knew what he was doing when he created them male and female. He knew what he was doing when he made you a man or a woman. Live in your vocation, and to do so is to honor and glorify this child in Bethlehem. Our problem is we think that we can fulfill these vocations, that we have a good grasp on what it means to live a godly life as a husband or a father. But as Dr. Luther said, even if we had 5 heads and 10 hands, we still could not fulfill sufficiently all that we are required to do. Husbands, fathers, love your wife. Care for her. Sacrifice everything for her. Do everything for her, even as Christ sacrificed everything for you. Lead her in the way of godliness. Encourage her in prayer and devotions. Pray with her. Teach your children. Yes, teaching of the children is the father's responsibility. Train them in the training and instruction of the Lord, yet do not burden them. Be just with them, yet also loving. Give to them, not simply what they need, but give to them more than what they need, yet don't spoil them. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Help him in everything. Love only him. Don't seek to be independent from him, but live for him and with him. Children, citizens, and employees. And yes, they're all grouped together because they're all people under authority. Guard your tongue. Speak well of your authorities at all times, even if they're a jerk, even if they're completely incompetent, for these are God-ordained authorities. Obey them in all things, for to do so is to obey Christ, who has given them to you. Pray for them. Pray for them always. Perhaps the reason why we have such incompetent leaders, in some people's opinions, or fathers that are just negligent, is because we are not praying for them. We would rather criticize. And by the way, do all of these things with love, honor, thanks, and joy. We have more than enough to do just in these simple vocations. And so like Peter, we are constantly trying to direct attention elsewhere. Like Adam, we try to redirect God's eyes toward Eve and her faults. We know we have failed. We haven't even kept this most basic of vocations God has given. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. St. John knew it. St. John confessed it. Even he knew that he needed a Savior. And therein lies the beauty of our fellowship with one another. We all have failed. Not one of us is a perfect person according to our vocation. Not even the saints of old. We all have failed. We have all been discontent with what we have been given. You see that in the great exchange of Christmas gifts on December 26th. and yet we all have a Savior. You and I have a Savior. St. John, the saints and apostles have a Savior to wash us clean in his blood. He is Christ the Lord, born in Bethlehem, sacrificed on Calvary. You are not called to walk with him, to talk to him, or to write about him as St. John was. Dr. Luther wasn't called to do those things either. He who was from the beginning, who is with God from eternity, who is God, who is life itself, appeared, and St. John saw him with his own two eyes. He walked with him. He talked with him. He saw love incarnate, wrapped in flesh. And he wrote it down so that you may believe that Jesus is this Christ. He recorded his life, his words, his teachings, so you may believe that what he taught is for you and your salvation. Christ fulfilled his office, his calling perfectly. His calling is that of Christ. He is the Messiah. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, calling sinners to repentance and faith. Never did Christ turn anyone away who came to him for help. Never did he grudgingly help. But he loved all and helped all with compassion and a tender heart. He gave himself fully to the work God had entrusted him to do. It wasn't always pretty or glamorous, but at times it was downright disgusting as he wallowed with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes, picking up their filth as his own. Carrying out the work of God cost him. It cost him dearly. What we consider those basic values that, or those basic rights that every person, even prisoners and captives, should have, our Lord did not enjoy. And then St. John witnessed his death. St. John was known to the high priest Caiaphas, and so he was allowed to enter while Peter had to remain outside for a time. He saw that kangaroo court. He saw Pilate's cowardice. He mourned as his Lord and his God was crucified outside of Jerusalem so unjustly. And he, when all others had fled, he was one of the few to remain by that cross. And what he saw there was a marvelous sight. He saw life. He saw the love of God hanging on a tree. He who was, is, and is to come, freeing envious sinners by his death. He felt the earthquake. He heard the words, "It is finished." He saw the darkness. He saw him breathe his last. And then he saw that blood and water come streaming out of Christ's side. And he wrote about it. He is the atoning sacrifice. John can't help but to tell you about it. He is the atoning sacrifice not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. There is forgiveness in Christ. That blood streaming forth has purified you from every sin. The blood of God covers your discontentment and your faults and your failures, even as it covered St. John and the apostles and ushered them into heaven. There is forgiveness in Christ. He who has seen these things testifies to the truth, writes St. John. There is forgiveness in the blood of Christ. So confess your sins. Flee to God. With your heart wide open, laying bare before him all that you have done and all that you have failed to do. For we too have sinned. And yet be certain that there is forgiveness in the blood of Christ. And he will pour it on you again and again through the mouths of his ministers to free you from all your sins. In this Christ child, you are now forgiven. In this Christ child, you are now set free from your sin. And so live in your vocation. Don't worry and don't fear that somehow you will mess it all up. You will. But trust that God's blood will cover even that. For Christ was sacrificed on the cross for the times when you do mess up. He is your sacrifice. So live in your God-given vocation. The Lord knows what is best for you. He knows what to give you. So be a godly man, a godly woman, mother, father, son, daughter, or whatever other vocation you happen to have. Don't be envious of others. For being the last living apostle is just as pleasing in God's sight as scrubbing toilets in faith. As New Year's rolls around, don't resolve to follow the latest trends, but rather resolve to be what God has made you to be, to continue living in faith. It's not always exciting. It doesn't always bring you happiness, but it does make you blessed. For then you live in the forgiveness of Christ. You live covered by his blood. Even when there are ups and downs, St. John was exiled to Patmos of all things. Even during those ups and downs, flee to Christ. For his atoning blood is your way to heaven. In limitless love, your God has established a vocation for you and has placed you where you are. Serve this Christ child by worshiping him. Flee to him in faith, for he is your God and Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.